This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
It's a new year, and it's time to get your picks in 26 with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop Bob's for hot new styles featuring the latest technology, like stylish sleeper sectionals with immersive Bluetooth audio, relaxing reclining sofas with LED lighting, and fabulous fireplaces with mood lighting and speakers, all at Bob's everyday low prices, of course. So if you want to refresh your room for less, save big by stopping in or shopping online at Bob's Discount Furniture.
Oh, could this vintage store be any cuter?
Right? And the best part? They accept Discover.
Accept Discover? In a little place like this? I don't think so, Jennifer.
Oh, yeah, huh? Discover's accepted where I like to shop. Come on, baby, get with the times.
Right, so we shouldn't get the parachute pants?
These are making a comeback, I think.
Discover is accepted at 99% of places that take credit cards nationwide. Based on the February 2025 Nielsen report.
Welcome to Speed City with John Massengill, Les Kaiser, and Jonathan Green. It's the fastest hour on the radio, Speed City.
Good evening, gearheads. Welcome to Speed City. Man, we are excited tonight because we have a fantastic show. We got a driver in studio.
I'm right here.
24, not that driver. That was Les Kaiser. This John Massengill. But we're going to introduce our guest in just a second here. But we're excited because it was a 24-hour Le Mans this weekend. We had MotoGP this weekend. And we've got some great interviews. We've got an interview with the president of Indy Motor Speedway, with a very interesting announcement that you heard it here first on Speed City. And we also have a great interview with Joe Roberts from Moto2 and an American racing in the series. So we're excited about that. And we're going to jump right in now. I'm going to introduce our guest because coming up to Circuit of the Americas is Rallycross. And, you know, we've had lots of different events at Circuit of the Americas. We've had a little bit of Rallycross style with the X Games here before. But we've got a whole new gig coming because the landscape is changing in Rallycross with World Rallycross and the former Red Bull Global Rallycross Series and the American Rallycross now. But our guest is James Rimmer. James, welcome to Speed City.
Yeah, thanks for having me, guys.
Appreciate you being in the studio.
Yeah, I'm excited to be here.
Well, James has raced in Rallycross for a while and actually starting as a kid, but I want you to give us your background first so everybody has a good good foundation to knowing your background.
Yeah, well, my dad gave me the itch when I was probably about 12. He threw me in a car and said, this is a manual car, this is a rally car, let's figure it out. I was hooked from then on, really, honestly. I couldn't get out of a car, whether it was a go-kart, whether it was a rally car, whether it was a rallycross car. And I played video games. I played all the video games, all the dirt games, all the Formula One games. I watched all the races I could find on TV. And I'm lucky enough to be able to actually drive a lot of these cars now. So really fortunate, really lucky, and really excited to be where I am today.
Well, we met James when Jonathan Green, who's not here today because he's up in Indianapolis, he was doing the Trans Am series for CBS Sports. But James and Jonathan met when Jonathan was calling the Global Rallycross series the last couple of years. And the most exciting for us here in Austin, of course, is that we've got it coming to Austin and in a couple of different ways. I mean, we've got the big World Rallycross coming in September. And then next month, we've got the American Rallycross Series. Tell us a little bit about that, and then we'll talk some more about it.
Yeah, so World Rallycross is going to come at the end of September, September 29th and 30th. That's going to be really exciting. That's all the top drivers. You see Petter Solberg, all these very, very top-level drivers from over in Europe. They're going to come over for the first time. They're going to do a U.S. race. Tagging along with that is America's Rallycross, which is a newly formed Rallycross series after Red Bull GRC closed its doors. ARX came up, America's Rallycross, and IMG promoted it, and they said, hey, we want to put this out there. We want Rallycross in the U.S. to succeed. So they had their first race down in Silverstone, tagging along to World RX, and that was a historic event. You know, You have Super Factory Team. You have Scott Speed. You have Tanner Faust. And then for actually July 14th, which I'll be racing in as well, you're going to have names like Ken Block. You're going to have Steve Arpin. You're going to have Scott Speed, Tanner Faust, all these really, really big names that we really hope will draw a really enthusiastic crowd to COTA.
Yeah, and so this is going to be kind of a mini-series because all this just happened. I mean, Global Red Bull GRC was at the beginning of the year we thought was still going to happen. And so
you guys all did.
Yeah, the insiders like you maybe knew, but we still thought it was going to happen. And so now this is basically a little mini-series for 2018, hoping to be a more thorough series in 2019, right? And, of course, you had the one race, and Silverstone was around one.
Correct.
And so this will be this event here in Austin next month will be the second event, right?
And this will actually be the first rallycross event that IMG has promoted and run in the U.S., even though the World RX one is coming in September. That's supposed to be the first one, but ARX is going to test the waters. We were out at Cars and Coffee this morning. Met a lot of people, saw a lot of cool cars, and I think we got a lot of people interested in it. A lot of people like, whoa, there's a rallycross track here? And they don't know about it.
Yeah, you know, and you're right, James. One of the things is actually more on an introductory level. I was talking to some folks, and they were like, what is rallycross to begin with? Mm-hmm. And, you know, that's a very fair question. We don't get to see a lot of it on free-to-air TV, and you got to kind of know about it or something. So if you're not familiar with it, folks, this is imagine motocross in cars on a mix of asphalt
it's a really
and
good
dirt.
Way to put it.
And I really do mean motocross with the jumps. As said, James was here a couple of months ago, took me for a ride. We had a blast. I mean, some of these cars are 0 to 60 in, like, you know, practically nothing. And
1.8 seconds.
Yeah.
Yeah. Somebody was telling me, they said, Formula One cars go 0 to 60 under 2 seconds. I said, yeah. Well, a quite a bit less expensive car can do that. You can see it next month at COTA.
So, So James took me for a ride. It was amazing. It's a lot of fun. It's all that throwing around that you see, and plus they get airborne. You know, I had a great time. First time I've ever been that far off the ground in a car intentionally. And, it was a lot of fun. I just picked up James from the hotel, and I brought him into the studio, and he screamed like a little girl when I tried to return the favor of some airborne flight.
Somehow we're here. Somehow.
Yeah, and thanks for posting my bail.
Anytime.
Well, this is going to be an awesome event at COTA because it's not something we've seen a lot of here in Austin, obviously. And the cars themselves, anything that can rocket from 0 to 60 in 1.8 seconds is incredible. But let's talk about the cars and how these, you know, they look like production cars, and some of them are based on production cars. Let's talk about the cars.
Yeah, so you're going to see everything out there from a Volkswagen Beetle, which you would not usually associate with being basically a rocket ship on four wheels. But you see Volkswagen Beetles, you're going to see Subaru STIs, you're going to see Ford Focuses, which aren't actually Ford Focuses. But these all have the looks and aesthetics. They seem like a NASCAR, right?
A
silhouette, right? And NASCAR's gone a little bit away from that in the past. But these really do look like cars you can buy on the road. Underneath the hood, not so much, but it gives the spectator and the viewer a little bit more of a connection to it and being able to see what their car could actually maybe be.
Awesome. You know what? Let's give away some tickets too.
Yeah,
I'll take them.
No, you're going to be
got
working.
Enough.
You're
going to
be in
work
the booth
that day. Sorry, guys.
All right. Well, I'm going to give out the number, and you can call to win some tickets to the American Rallycross in July. What's the dates in July?
July 14th. It's a 1-day event. July 14th. There's going to be cars and coffee as well that day. We're going to have most of the drivers out there. They're going to be doing autograph sessions. What's really cool about Rallycross is it's not like Formula One. It's not like MotoGP. The pits are open. Paddock's open. You can walk right up to the cars. You can walk up to the team's trailers. You can say hello to everyone. There's no pit passes. It's free for all, and it's really...
And who are the big names that other people know?
So you're going to have people like Ken Block.
Ken's fun.
You're going to have people like Scott Speed, Formula One driver. Yeah. You're going to have people like Tanner Faust, Top
You can
Gear
go trash talk Tanner because he's always good at returning it.
You're going to have a lot of these big names, and you're going to be able to get right up next to them. You're going to be able to talk to them, and they want to talk to you because they want to share the sport of rallycross with you.
All right, and we're going to make it easy. All you got to do is call and say you got to come on the air and say why you want to go. The number is 512-643-LIVE, 512-643-5483, and to win some tickets to next month's American Rallycross. But so we talked about the cars, and let's talk about the track, because At COTA, we're used to seeing 3.5 miles of incredibly smooth, awesome asphalt, but there's going to be a little dirt involved this time.
Yeah, it's a little bit different, and I think some people are some of the people who are a little more into the classic road racing stuff are a little bit scared. And I've definitely heard that from a couple people, but it's worked out really well. It's between turns 12 and 14 on the Formula One track.
So that's the stadium area, folks.
Yeah. So it's got grandstands lining it. It's going to be great for the audience members. It's about 40% dirt, 60% tarmac. It goes through the infield, and then there's a jump, like you said earlier. So there's going to be lots of viewing points. You can see the entire course from your one seat, unlike sitting and watching just two corners. And it's action-packed. I mean, within 2 minutes, you're going to see 10 cars going door-to-door on a half-mile track.
Yeah, awesome. So, you know what? I want to talk about this. The actual event itself, obviously July 14th, and this is, COTA's calling it the inaugural event for this new circuit that we just talked about, this new track with 40% dirt, 60% asphalt, and jump. But tell us a little bit how this would be different from what if somebody were at the X Games and saw that.
So, you know, it would actually be a little bit similar to the X Games. It's all about that short, very action-packed 5 minutes. And people love that with X Games. They love watching the skateboarding, the Moto X. All that stuff is so compact, and you can watch all of it without having to only watch a corner or two. So Rallycross is very similar in that way. And if you came out to Austin in 2014, 2013, I don't remember exactly what year it was, but they did have Rallycross as well, and it was popular. You know, you had a lot of people who came out and learned about it, but then the problem was we took 3 years off and people didn't know where to go to watch it. So we're trying to renew that interest again.
Oh, I think it'll happen. You know, especially, I mean, personally, I wish everybody could get in the passenger seat like I got to with you, but it's really exciting. It's rugby on dirt, four wheels. I mean, there's some banging that goes on during these races. It's a lot of fun. But these guys get out and they're generally in a good mood after it anyway, but it is so much fun. And it does remind you, you know, John, it's kind of like your Bass Trop training in the truck out on the dirt roads.
Actually, you know what? Most of my training was not in a truck. It was an Oldsmobile Cutlass that I treated like a rally car.
I don't think Oldsmobile's in America Rally right now.
I don't
no
think so.
No factory team.
No, but that was my training, sideways driving the whole time. Hey, I think looks like we got a caller to try to win some of these tickets. Looks like we got Steve. Hey, Steve, welcome to Speed City.
Hey, guys, thanks.
So you are interested in going to officially, it's the Dirtfish World American Rallycross event at Circuit of the Americas. So what's exciting about that to you?
Well, yeah, you guys were talking before about Ken Block being there, Scott Speed, and some of the big names. So I think it'd be cool to see them bang doors and, see what happens, see if there's some good racing.
Well, awesome. So, James, bang doors?
Yeah.
Do we see any doors?
Oh, it's all about contact. We don't avoid the contact. We seek it out. And that's what makes it fun. It makes it fun to drive, and it makes it fun to watch.
So, yes, like you said, Les, motocross.
Rugby and motocross all together.
Yeah. Well, Steve, thanks for calling in. We'll have those tickets for you. Hold on, and the producer will get your stuff.
All right. Thanks, guys.
All right, so
wait, we didn't ask him. Dang it, what does he drive? We got to remember that rule. We always ask, James, as you've probably heard, we ask our call-in, what do they drive? We ask our guest, what is your daily car?
My daily car? My daily car is a...
He's smirking, people.
Because you may laugh at me because I have a mom car. I have a soccer mom car. I have a Cadillac CTS-V wagon. A 6-speed manual with the LSA engine in it.
Do you want to sell this? Because John, truly, I have been looking for that car for John.
Really?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah,
six-speed is so rare, folks.
Yeah. They made about 500 of them. That's sort of the numbers I've been getting from the forums. It took me about a year to find it. I found it down in California.
They're only worth like 10, 12K, is that it now?
Yeah, 10, 12,000 over the price of a normal CTS. That's actually about right. That's about the premium over a regular CTSV of that vintage.
Yeah, so I
dude, that's not a mom car. That's an awesome car.
That's an awesome mom car.
Yeah, so I have that, and I have a 996 turbo as well. So that's my weekend car, and those are my two little silver cars, and those are awesome cars.
Okay, that certainly beats Alexander Rossi's Silverado.
I think in my mind, that's the best driver car, daily driver of any guest we've ever had, including Formula One drivers, World Endurance drivers.
Graham Rahal and the brand new NSX number 13 off the production line.
That's his daily driver?
Like he said he's building it up to be his daily driver, but he already custom fabbed exhaust for you can imagine Graham.
Well, a little smaller pulley and a couple of things, and the wagon might take him in a straight line.
I've done headers and exhaust and a dyno tune, but that's about it so far. I don't want to go down the rabbit hole of pulleys. I'm scared.
I heard somebody say that to rebuild his, he's going to get a pulley after this statement. To rebuild the blower on a CTS-V, it's like less than $1,000. So yeah, turn up the boost.
Yeah.
Now the pistons and cranks and all those things are a little more, but
yeah.
All right. Well, let's talk a little bit more about the Dirtfish America's Rallycross because we're giving away tickets today, 512-643-LIVE, but you can also get free tickets if you buy tickets to the event in September, the World Rallycross. So if you buy those tickets, you get a twofer and you get to go to both events. And like we were saying, it's going to be an amazing event at COTA. One of those events, in fact, somebody was telling me that they had not been to COTA, and I said, this is a perfect event because it's going to be way less insane than a Formula One event or even a MotoGP event, and you'll be able to get down and get in the garages, talk to the drivers, talk to the teams, look at the cars. Meet, you know, I've even seen them put people in cars on rally cars are a little trickier to do that.
Oh, yeah, saw that today. Yeah, it was awesome, cool. Man. It was cool. Today was their second Cars and Coffee on site, and the rallycross crowd was the centerpiece for the event today.
Awesome. Well, all right, guys. Well, let's go ahead and take our first break, and remember, the rest of the show, we're going to talk a little MotoGP, a little 24 Hours of Le Mans, and we got a couple F1 stories that we want to talk about. You're listening to Speed City, live from Austin, Texas. Back after these messages.
Dirtfish Rally School is the nation's most prestigious driving school, offering 7 days a week, year-round driver education from 15-year-olds with no driving experience to amateur racers and professional drivers. Our professional instructors never judge a student based on who they are, where they're from, or their driving background. We'll keep you and your family safe, on the road, or better, at the racetrack. Feel confident behind the wheel, no matter the situation, no matter what you've done, or where you've done it, or how well you've done it. We'll make you better. MV Agusta motorcycles are the epitome of Italian style, precisely crafted with a passion for two-wheel art on wheels. Ducati Austin are the only MV Agusta and Ducati factory authorized technicians in Austin, servicing all European brands. Check the Brutale Sport Naked, the most extreme essential naked bike ever. Or the Turismo Veloce 800, the first revolutionary tourer to be built by MV Agusta. Or if you want a pedigree steeped in racing, then look no further than the World Supersport winning triple F3, 675 and 800. Or go all out for the ultimate legendary F4 MV Agusta. Italian style with Texas soul. Trade-in, consignments welcome and financing available. Ducati Austin and the home of MV Agusta at 818 Breaker Lane, just east of I-35.
Listen to Talk 1370 anytime, anywhere on the radio.com app.
Hi there, my name's Derek Bell. This is Speed City.
Welcome back to the fastest hour in radio, Speed City.
All right, we're going to talk about the 24 Hours of Alonso. I mean the 24 Hours of Le Mans.
Yeah, yeah.
Yes, I love the fact that Fernando Alonso is racing and trying to achieve the Triple Crown, of which...
It's historic.
It is. But man, is he a just overload of Alonso in motorsport world, you know, with Indy and little trials and tribulations in Formula One. But it is a cool story because he did achieve the second part of his dream of winning the Triple Crown, which is, of course, winning Monaco, winning the 24 Hours of Le Mans, and winning the Indy 500, which who else? We should have looked this up, but I know Graham Hill's done it, and anybody else, I'm sure we'll get our intern to check that out for us. But But it is a cool story. And I mean, the 24 Hours of Le Mans is obviously this iconic race. And you could look at this as kind of the asterisk in that Toyota didn't have one of the other major manufacturers, and you know, Porsche and Audi have both left the sport. But I don't want to take away from that, because anytime you can put a car on the racetrack and go for 24 hours and win, even though they didn't have the major dollar competitors against them, it's still an achievement. And you know, I don't know how much their racing would have actually changed had they been racing against Porsche, Audi. Yes, I know, but I mean, don't you agree? It's still a big deal, no matter how it happened.
Absolutely. I mean, it's still 24 hours. Yes, it's totally different. It's, you know, we haven't seen Alonso in a tin top, as Johnny calls it. You know, we haven't seen him in anything but open wheel in so long. It's showing his flexibility and his command of the track, no matter what he's in. You want to bring him to Rallycross, James?
Oh, I would love to, along with many other Formula One drivers.
Yeah. But I think it's one of those things that's just respected across, and not to put words in your mouth, James, but do you guys look at Le Mans in the same way we do, knowing what it is?
Yeah, I think you look at Le Mans and you look at Formula One as those top levels of motorsport, no matter what discipline you're in. That's the top 1%, you know?
How about MotoGP?
That's just nutty. I don't even, I mean, that's just, wow. It takes so much skill and so much,
cojones.
Yeah, go ahead, yeah, that's it. What I, that's, yeah. Yeah, wow. I have so much respect for those guys.
Le Mans, you know, it was a great 24-hour race. Everything was going great. Fernando Alonso knocked out a lot of time on his stints on other cars.
Yeah, his lap times and during the night
continued to go on.
I mean, think about that. He's stepping in to, just like he did in at Indy. It really does show, and really I think that's the story here, is that he steps into this car where these guys have been doing this forever. I mean, these are some of the world's most experienced race car drivers.
A couple of
weeks
ago.
Running Le Mans, and Alonso steps in and to a totally different car than Formula One. Yes, you could argue that obviously he's racing every weekend and everything, but still, to step into a different car, into a different series, different rules, different environments, all those things, and to set the fastest lap times. I mean, it's astounding. I mean, James, being a race car driver, we want to ask you, I mean, can you imagine stepping into another series and being as fast as anybody else?
It's a really big mental thing. And a really good example of that is Scott Speed, who races in Rallycross. I've raced against him quite a few times now. And I think what a lot of people don't realize is how high of a level of a driver you have to be, both mentally and physically, at a Formula One level. And once you're at that level, Scott Speed was not the most successful Formula One driver.
But still, he was a Formula One driver.
If you're a Formula One driver, you are the cream of the crop, and being able to switch between cars like that is almost a must, because these people rise through the ranks and they're going from car to car and they're getting every seat time they can get, every bit of seat time.
Yeah, look at Alexander Rossi.
Exactly.
He stepped out of Formula One. I mean, we Alexander spent a lot of time on the show with us. We had him in studio one time.
Oh, cool.
And he was telling us about the training.
Yeah.
The training that they do in Formula One, and the regimens, the diets, the physical, and then the mental training. They had him doing all this weird concentration, multitasking.
Juggling.
Yeah.
Crazy stuff
about,
like that.
Yeah.
It was really fascinating to hear the kind of training that he goes through. But yeah, Alonso, I mean, it is a phenomenal story. But the other part of this story is, of course, Toyota winning, right? Let's think back a little bit. Obviously, the last lap disaster. And they had, you know, there was a reason that Kobayashi was in the car when they won, because this is such a big deal. And Jonathan Green talks about this a lot of times on the show, talking about how the Japanese culture of regimen and excellence and all those things, that they haven't been able to win this. And I think it's a huge deal for Toyota.
I think it's a really big deal for them.
Well, obviously, the rest of the racing was great. Another big story was Gustavo Meneses, the American, on the podium overall. You know, third overall. And Jonathan and I spoke earlier today, and we were trying to think of, has an American ever done this? and or excuse me, when's the last time an American, we know the Americans done it before, but when's the last time an American's been on the podium overall at Le Mans? Because we know, like we were talking earlier, Patrick Dempsey, I don't know if I have the number yet, but I
Dempsey,
think
Dempsey, Price, Cobb, but
Davy Jones,
there's a lot of names.
Is that the right? I think we may have narrowed it down to Davy Jones was the last time an American was on the podium overall. So Gustavo Menez is, I mean, it's fun watching him because he did great the last couple of years. And obviously, you know, on the podium at Le Mans, I mean, it doesn't get much bigger than that. Sound like the plan, James?
I hope. Yeah, it's everyone. I mean, being on the top level, any of those steps in one of those top level of a race series is any young racer's dream.
Yeah, and think about what we were just saying about Alonso. And Gustavo's racing against all these same guys.
Yeah, exactly. It is such an accomplishment. You know, we've been watching it, and quite honestly, Alonso makes it look effortlessly as long as his motors last. And, you know, you just kind of miss, I think it's almost deluded because he makes it look so easy.
It's not. Not even close, especially when you're talking about an endurance race, like 24 hours of Le Mans.
I did read a story about how Alonso was fearing a repeat of the Indy 500 heartbreak at Le Mans. And you saw them, I mean, you could see it. We've seen this so many times at Le Mans when they've been up for 24 hours or a good bit of that anyway, but where they're watching their co-driver out there and just, you know, fingers crossed that one of those last lap disasters or something.
Crazy. Yeah.
I mean, as simple as a flat tire, you know, but I know that he was watching and was saying that because he was talking about comparing it to the Indy 500 and saying, please don't let that happen again.
Well, he is going to go back to the 500, as I understand.
Well, I think actually this would be a good time to play this clip because we have a clip that Mr. Jonathan Green was up in Indiana at Indianapolis, and he ran into the president of IMS, Indy Motor Speedway, Doug Bowles. And yes, you can hear it here first, an official invitation from Mr. Bowles. So let's hear that interview right now.
Okay, Speed City fans, I have a story for you. I've got a bit of an exclusive here because I'm here with the president of the Indianapolis Motor Speedway, Doug Bowles, and who's actually been racing today, but probably got up this morning with a smile on his face as he watched the Le Mans 24 hours and saw that Fernando Alonso got one step closer to the Triple Crown. Now all he has to do is come back to the iconic Indianapolis Motor Speedway for the Indy 500 and then win that, and he's done it. But I'm sure you had a smile on your face this morning.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, and the smile is because I know what it meant to him to win, but more importantly, because I know how much our fans embraced him when he ran the Indy 500 in 2017. It was great to have him here. Our fans are fired up about it, and we would love nothing more than to have him come back. And in a little under 350 days, we'd love to have him in the starting grid.
So Formula One fans, McLaren fans, Indy fans, Alonso fans, that's an official invite from the president.
It is absolutely an official invite from the Indianapolis Motor Speedway, and all of us here at IndyCar, we'd love to have him come back.
He's been talking a lot how much he enjoyed it, and obviously now Jensen's getting back, and he did the Le Mans this weekend as well. But I think it goes both ways. Alonso loved the month here, and I know he wants to come back for sure. There's a lot of rumors that McLaren might come back with a full team. Is there any more to that story?
You know, I think the IndyCar guys are really trying to figure that one out and see if they can make that make sense for the McLaren folks to come. We'd love to have them. It was fun to have them in livery when they were here for the Indy 500, but to bring Alonso and McLaren to the Indianapolis 500 again next year, we'd love to see it. And he was a fantastic participant, and like I said, our fans loved him so much. And that's the hardest thing, is getting our fans to embrace somebody. He did the whole thing and did it in a great way, and I sat in qualifying when he qualified. And other than Ed Carpenter and Tony Kanaan, there was nobody that got a bigger cheer than Fernando, so it was pretty cool to have him, thinking maybe he'll come back.
Last time we had you on Speed City, it was the 100th celebration, and we were all wondering, well, how could you top that? What can you do? We just had the 102nd, and we're still going strong. Looking forward to the 103rd. Anything planned, anything special for that one?
Well, we're just continuing to try and grow it. The fans of the Indy 500 are unbelievable, and this place continues to be successful as much about the fans as anything that we do here, the history and tradition of the Speedway, and we've had fun. I know our IndyCar fans and Indy 500 fans have had fun watching Fernando this year. They have now their new favorite F1 driver, so I think it's also been great for us to reconnect with the F1 fan base and have our fans connect with F1 racing, so it's good for the whole motorsport world when we can all raise that tide.
Well, there might be another story happening. I just saw the 111 one go out there in the Formula Ford, driven by one Mr. Doug Bowles. Are you making a late entry for next year, getting ready?
You know, I think I'm going to skip the late entry. I'm a little old for that, and I'm not nearly as talented as those guys. It's amazing what F1 drivers and IndyCar drivers have in terms of talent. They certainly got a gift, and I didn't get that gift, but I do have an awful lot of fun pounding around here on the road course at the Speedway.
Well, Doug, thanks very much. We've got exactly a year almost to get ready for it. I hope it comes true, and I know that Fernando, whether it be next year or the year after, will be back to try to attempt to win that famous race.
Well, we look forward to having him, and we look forward to celebrating along with him. His victory this morning, it's pretty cool to see him get two of his three out of the way, and now he's got one more he's got to do.
Thanks for talking to us.
Yeah, no problem.
I know that there's obviously an official invitation from every racetrack in the world to Fernando Alonso, but it's kind of cool.
Oh, yeah. And Doug's a great guy, and we had the opportunity to spend quite a bit of time with him on the 100th, as John alluded to, and he's right. The environment at Indianapolis Motor Speedway is like no other environment I've been to for a race. You know, the big NASCAR races are great, but no.
And pretty cool the way he didn't, that he was very friendly about Formula One. You get, a lot of series get competitive with each other, and it was pretty cool that he was saying that. And that, look, we're all a big motorsport family, like he said. All right, we need to take another break. And when we come back, we're going to talk a little MotoGP, and we're going to have more with James Rimmer and talk some more about the Rallycross coming to here to Austin, Circuit of the Americas. You're listening to Speed City in Austin, back after these messages.
The Austin East KOA Campground, just 15 minutes from Circuit of the Americas and downtown Austin, and just 2 minutes from the Travis County Expo Center and Central Texas Fishing in Decker Lake. Featuring amenities for every style of camping, from tent sites to luxury RV pull-throughs and cabins, plus a pool, showers, and laundry. Nestled in tall oak trees on the edge of the hill country, all the pleasures of the Lone Star State await you at Austin East KOA. To make your reservation, visit AustinEastKOA.com.
Dirtfish Rally School is the nation's most prestigious driving school, offering 7 days a week, year-round driver education from 15-year-olds with no driving experience to amateur racers and professional drivers. Our professional instructors never judge a student based on who they are, where they're from, or their driving background. We'll keep you and your family safe on the road, or better, at the racetrack. Feel confident behind the wheel, no matter the situation, no matter what you've done or where you've done it or how well you've done it. We'll make you better.
Talk 1370.
This is Alex Gurney. This is Speed City.
Welcome back to the fastest hour in radio, Speed City.
We are in Speed City. We're in Austin, Texas. We got a little rain today. It's unusual for us this time of year because it's been miserably hot. And we're sitting here looking out the window, and we're joined in studio by James Rimmer, rallycross driver. And he was noticing it was a nice view. You can almost see Circuit of the Americas from the studio. Not quite, but James, you brought up something during the break. You were doing some research on Gustavo Menezes. Before we go to MotoGP, I want to finish up a little Le Mans. And you said he's had a little time in a rally car.
Yeah, we'll do this quickly, but he's done everything. And I was interested. I was just looking through his race results, and he's done one race in a lights car, which is the car I drive in rallycross. And that's really cool. You know, it shows that these road racers, these very traditional racers who come from a karting background, who come from a road racing background, are getting their feet wet in all these other types of racing.
You know, to be honest, I think a lot of folks in the U.S. don't realize how popular this is around the world and how it's utilized. And honestly, how grassroots it is. I mean, you know, we know about the Finns and their background in it. But it's a phenomenal sport and has a long legacy outside of the U.S. So I feel like it's kind of treated like soccer was 20, 30 years ago. It's really popular everywhere else, and now we've lit onto it and we like it, and we're going to do the same here.
Yeah, I hope so. And you're 100% right when you say that, because you can go to some of the events in Europe, Sweden in particular, Norway in particular. Those two events, you'll have 100,000 people over two days that come to a rallycross race. I mean, they wait all year for it. It's the biggest event of the year. And it hasn't gotten to that point here yet, but that's the hope, you know, that sort of level of, you know, excitement.
Well, but if you look at the racing, though, the racing is so exciting. I mean, if we compared the last couple of Formula One races to a rally car race, I mean, it's like Les was just talking about shoulder to shoulder. I mean, it is. It's bumping. It's racing. But obviously, there's the finesse part of it too. Mm-hmm. But it's really exciting to watch, and anybody could watch that and go, "Wow, that is fun to watch." I mean, I think you don't have to be a motorsport fan.
No, it's a different style of driving, and like we were talking about earlier, I think it's really great for some of these other drivers that came up in different disciplines to really learn that sort of driving. It just gives you a whole different perspective.
You know, I liken it to Les. What we talk about Colin Edwards boot camp, and he teaches guys how to ride MotoGP bikes on the dirt, you know, not actual MotoGP bikes on the dirt, but dirt bikes, but all the same philosophies, because the limit of adhesion obviously is dramatically less, but all the concepts are the same. And I think about rallycross in the dirt, I mean, all the same concepts that apply to the balance of the car and all that, all apply it. And what's interesting about rallycross, you got asphalt and dirt.
Yeah.
So,
but you still like you still have that 100% limit of all three of your inputs, right? You can only add up to 100% of steering, throttle, and brake, right? It has to be a combination of those three. If you can't do 100% of any of those three at the same time, and you learn that so much in circuit racing, when you bring it to dirt, it really comes out and it shines. That's why you see a lot of circuit racers be very good, like Scott Speed, Tanner Faust. They're really good on the dirt.
Awesome.
I think it actually starts on the dirt, to be honest. You know, when we were doing different club sports, and in particularly, you know, autocross, we're sitting around one day after the event, and all of the guys, those of us that were kind of in the faster pack, all had dirt bike experience. And I think the dirt is the real contributor to that.
Yeah, and sometimes you'll see guys come over from circuit racing and they'll struggle for a little bit. And it's because it's a totally different style of racing, but once you learn how to take those skills that you have from the other type of racing and apply them to that different type of surface, it starts to come through. And that I've seen that happen in a lot of drivers. I struggle going from dirt to tarmac because I started in dirt. But, you know, to each their own.
Yeah, I mean, it truly is. You know, they say it's the door-banging, airborne, dirt-slinging excitement. That's pretty spot on.
That describes it pretty well, yeah.
So the marketing guys actually talked to somebody when they wrote that.
They saw the racing.
Yeah, exactly. All right, let's talk some MotoGP, because Catalunya.
Ooh.
And Mr. Consistent, Jorge Lorenzo, just was, the way the headline was, sublime. And I think that's a pretty good description.
He had a great start. I thought Marquez was going to get him a little bit to the whole shot, but he stuck with it, got it out there. And, you know, he just robotic. Honestly, robotically smooth, consistent. His times were so spot on through the entire race.
So consistent, almost identical. It's crazy.
They were varied less than, I believe, half a second the entire race, I think somebody said. And really was fantastic. But, you know, the race was good. You know, I enjoyed seeing it. Sorry for Dovi taking a dive through the gravel again. You know, sorry for these things. But honestly, the big story was Jorge Lorenzo out front on a Ducati that he's not going to be on next year.
Yeah, that is a big story.
You know, and there's a lot of noise being made. Did he jump too soon? You know, can he back up on what he's saying? Let's read the fine print again. Because honestly, he's out there beating Marquez right now.
On a Ducati. Yeah.
On a Ducati pretty consistently. It really is something to be said. And, you know, he's beginning to get asked about it pretty regularly. And so it's a big deal. And you watch him, if you get the opportunity, watch how he responds, not just the words, but watch how he responds.
Yeah, and we've got a clip from Jorge Lorenzo after today's win at Catalunya. Let's hear Jorge Lorenzo.
My goal and my first priority, as you know, as I always say, was to stay in Ducati and to finish what I did. No, was just till the months that I realized that maybe Ducati wanted to swap me or to change me or to plan to put another rider, and then we started to plan another way into my future, no? But till the months I wanted to to win with Ducati races, if it's possible, the championship. I won a race. The championship is not impossible, but next year, as you know, I will be competing with another manufacturer.
James, I want to ask you, we got James Rimmer, rallycross driver in studio. I want to
Dirt
ask you.
Dirtfish, no less.
Dirtfish rallycross driver.
I think that's the coolest name in rallycross. I'm sorry.
You guys like it?
I do.
Yeah, it's very cool. But I want to ask you, because obviously when you're in racing, getting the bike and getting it or in the car, getting the car set mm-hmm. up, there's so many parts to the equation.
Yeah.
And it changes track to track, right?
Yeah, it does.
And what they did for Jorge Lorenzo, the last piece of the puzzle right before he started winning, was they changed the shape of the tank.
Hmm.
In other words, because you
gas
know,
tank. I, the legs gas are tank, there.
No
you
know, way.
Because in MotoGP, obviously you're so much more active than you would be in a car,
absolutely.
As far as you know, you're throwing your body all around. But they changed. That was the last little piece of the puzzle.
Wow.
And as soon as they did that, he's won the next two races.
Yeah, you know, small changes like that seem so insignificant on the surface. But when you really look into them, I mean, we do the same thing in cars, and you guys know it as well as anyone. You know, we'll go to a circuit like here at COTA. And we'll start testing and we'll go, all right, well, what's the car doing? All right, we'll make a big change. If it's too soft, we'll make it stiffer. And that solves a certain amount of problems. But then you'd go back and you say, okay, what's 1 degree of toe in the back left wheel going to do? And you say, I don't know. Let's try it out. And like, what is the car doing? Is it pushing on corner exit on when you get back on gas? Let's dial in a little more toe. And those tiny little changes all add up to one big setup. And once you have that setup and you have it for a track, you have it in your back pocket, really. And you can make tweaks to that as well, but you can start to adapt your driving style to that setup of the track for that specific course.
Confidence.
Yeah, totally.
That's what you're looking for. Well, let me ask further, you being a competitor, so let's say it wasn't dirt fish. Here you are racing for your team.
Yep.
And you already knew you were going out the door at the end of the season. But now you started winning for that same team that you're leaving, and you've got a signature on a contract for another team next year.
That's a tough situation to be in.
Yeah,
that's
you
a
hear
tough
how
situation.
Awkward he is.
Yeah, and he feels he's in an awkward spot, right? Because they finally got something right, and now you know he's already committed. But it's motorsport, and you know to a certain extent, you got to take what you can get in motorsport, and. Motorsport, as you guys know, is difficult to break into nowadays, and it's also difficult to advance. And getting manufacturer rides is not an easy thing to come by.
I'm just thinking, you know, there are two of the biggest names in racing around it, Ducati and Honda, and here he is going back and forth. I am just
Someone's
difficult.
Yeah, someone I'm sure in the background, a manager, an agent, someone's shaking their head or trying to figure out what's going on.
Hands.
Yeah, they're
well,
like, where's the
see.
Money coming? there's happy people and there's not so happy people.
Because what if he wins the championship? What if he keeps us up and wins the championship?
That is not out of the question.
Oh no, not
that
at all.
That is not out of the question. And that's why I put James on the spot here. I'm like think about winning the championship, James. Now you still want to go over to that other brand?
It makes for a tense situation, doesn't it? I've not been in that position yet. I mean, fortunately, it's a pretty good position to be in when you have another offer on the table and you're in the position to potentially win a championship and you're winning races. But it does put you in a little bit of an awkward situation. You could hear it in his voice. You could hear he was sort of like, I don't know what to do.
Yeah, check out MotoGP's YouTube channel on that, and or actually on the website, and it is visually you cringe with him.
Well, the rest of the race. I mean, Valentino Rossi. We had Marquez come in second, and Valentino Rossi, 38 years old. Just continuing to be, I mean, what is he now? He's second in the championship right now. He could win another world championship. And he's, I mean, we go on and every time, every week about MotoGP, about Valentino Rossi, but you can't help it because he's out there week after week with the guys that are almost half his age.
Yeah.
It's just incredible.
He's amazing. And you know what's even more amazing about him? And I will admit, I don't follow MotoGP as much as I should, but He's been in rally cars. He's been on four wheels before, and he is incredibly, incredibly fast. And it's just an attribute to him. I mean, he's got that natural skill. He's got that natural talent. He can hop in something from two wheels to four wheels and instantly win. And that's not something that many people can do.
Yeah.
You know, it. You've just spurned and initiated a thought. So the MotoGP guys coming to dirt, getting on four wheels, slinging around, you know, airborne, you know, what was it? Dirt slinging yeah, excitement. Yeah. I'm thinking there's one MotoGP guy here in town that I think he just spends a lot of time fishing. But I wonder if Mr. Schwantz might go out and take a few laps with James.
Oh, that's a good idea.
Think of that. That could be interesting.
World champ Kevin Schwantz.
Yeah, that would be fantastic. Yeah.
Let's see if we can get him to quit baiting the hook and come out and get in some cars here.
There's been a lot of people that come from Travis Pastrana. He started in motocross.
Oh, yeah.
And he was one of my, he coached me when I was really young and he's amazing. He's an amazing driver. He's a natural talent, not only on two wheels, but four wheels.
Yeah, oh, that'd be cool.
And everything in between.
All right, before we leave two wheels, I want to play another clip here because we've got an American racing in the World Championship here in Moto 2. We got Joe Roberts, and
I'm still kind of mad at him for trying to kill me at the boot camp.
At Collins boot camp? Yeah. But so he's done, he did good. Last race out, he finished 14th. And remember that Moto 2 is so competitive. It may be the most competitive, I mean, it's for sure in motorcycle racing, and it may be at the highest levels like this, it may be the most competitive series because these guys, you know, they're all, the lap times are so close and the hardware and everything, it's conducive to be so, so close. But he finished 22nd, and which honestly, at this point, I'll take it because he's still learning and growing. But we had a really good interview we did with him. We put up on our SoundCloud account, but I got to play this clip because he was talking about one of his competitors getting a ride moving up to MotoGP. So let's hear from Joe Roberts.
We're obviously interested to see when your transition will be, but I'm sure you took note of Juan Mir getting a factory ride next year for Suzuki. That's big news, and it just shows you how close you are, or at least how close Moto2 is to MotoGP, because they are looking very, very closely at your championship.
Yeah, that freaking got a ride so soon. No, he's my friend. It's cool. It's good for him. I'm happy he got the deal, and that's really awesome for him. But no, it just shows. Yeah, Moto2 is right there. I mean, I think Hervé Poncherolle even said something before in an interview that he's more interested in Moto2 riders than any other championship in the world because it's the most competitive championship you can be in, maybe even more than MotoGP, just if you look at how tight and close the field is. So it's, and yeah, just from experience, I can tell you it's not an easy freaking class. You think you're on it and you look at the timing sheets and you're 20th or something. So it's a lot of mental thought that goes into that championship, and I'm glad he got that ride.
Yeah, that was Jonathan Green interviewing.
What would his mother say? Joe.
Now, they have a lot of fun. Jonathan interviewed Joe Roberts. We got a nice long interview. Go to our website and speedcitybroadcast.com and click on the SoundCloud link. It'll take you out to all our interviews because obviously we got all our radio shows here and then our Formula One pre and post race shows, but we put a lot of our content up on SoundCloud and we got the full interview with Joe. And we're going to follow him very closely because When you get an American in the path to MotoGP, where Americans used to dominate, we're going to follow very closely.
I'll throw this out there. I see a lot of the same qualities in Joe Roberts, the discipline, the training, the mentorships that he gains, as we did with Alexander Rossi about 6 years ago.
Yeah, well, that's a high compliment because Rossi, man, he was a serious
intense
young man. Very. All right, we're going to take another break. And when we come back, we're going to talk more with James Rimmer, Dirtfish Rallycross driver. And we're going to talk a little bit about what's going to happen at COTA and the cars and coffee that's been happening out there. You're listening to Speed City here in Austin. Back after these messages.
Envy Agusta motorcycles are the epitome of Italian style, precisely crafted with a passion for two-wheel art on wheels. Ducati Austin are the only Envy Agusta and Ducati factory authorized technicians in Austin, servicing all European brands. Check the Brutale Sport Naked, the most extreme essential naked bike ever. Or the Turismo Veloce 800, the first revolutionary tourer to be built by Envy Agusta. Or if you want a pedigree steeped in racing, then look no further than the World Supersport winning triple F3, 675 and 800. Or go all out for the ultimate legendary F4 Envy Agusta. Italian style with Texas soul. Trade-in, consignments welcome, and financing available. Ducati Austin and the home of Envy Agusta at 818 Breaker Lane, just east of I-35.
The racetrack. It's where legends are born. Where only the finest machines earn their reputation for innovation and dominance. Such are the nameplates you'll find at Aston Martin of Austin, Lotus of Austin, Bentley Austin, and Rolls-Royce Motorcars. Austin exotic, iconic automobiles whose racing heritage turns everyday driving into an inspiring journey. Because you're never just along for the ride. Highway 183 north of McNeil Road.
Listen to Talk 1370 anytime, anywhere with the all-new radio.com app. Check your phone's app store or visit talk1370.com/app.
Hi, I'm Andrea Vistoso and this is Speed to the City.
Welcome back to the fastest hour in radio, Speed City.
All right, welcome back to Speed City. We are joined in studio by Dirtfish Rallycross driver James Rimmer. And during the break, we were talking about different drivers and different sports, and we talked about Alexander Rossi. But we were talking about Brendan Hartley earlier, and he's had a heck of a go of it lately with the crashes. I mean, that last crash apparently was high enough G-forces to send him to the hospital. You know, they measure the G-forces right. But he's had a rough go of it. I mean, with all the crashes and now the rumors, you know, his career, if you haven't followed it, he was in Formula One years ago.
Right.
And then didn't make it, and then went to the World Endurance Championship and flourished, won a world championship with Porsche.
Oh, yeah.
And then got invited back. And we got to know him really well. And
Seen him come up through the Porsche ranks into the Le Mans circles.
Yeah. And he's a nice guy. And a very genuine guy, seems kind of intellectual. And but James, I want to get your take on, from a driver's standpoint, of that path where he's going. He was in Formula One, he got basically booted out, went to WEC, and then back in Formula One. And now he's only, what, 6-7 races in? And now they're already talking about kicking him out again.
Yeah, it takes a mental toll on you. And racing does as a general sport. When you look at something like that, when you've gotten to that highest level and you get kicked down a notch again because of performance specifically, and when you're at that level, when you're Formula One, they're just going to tell you, they're going to say, you're not good enough to be here right now. They're not going to mince words. And they probably did that. And he went back down, he proved to them, he said, hey, I can do this. But now he's here again and he's in this situation. And he actually put out a social media post on Facebook, must have been maybe a week ago. And he basically said, hey, I know things haven't been going well, but I know I have the pace. We all know on the team that we have what it takes, and we're going to be back the rest of the season, and we're going to show you guys what we can do. And it's so unfortunate. It's really unfortunate, especially when you see two young drivers like Lance Stroll and Brendan Hartley come together, like in Montreal a couple weeks ago. I mean, that's hard to watch, right? Because these are two young drivers that are trying to make a name for themselves. Brendan Hartley already has. Lance Stroll is trying to make his name, and it's difficult. And it takes, like I said, it takes a mental toll because you sit there and you think to yourself, what can I do differently? I can have the best practice session. I can have the best qualifying session. Then you go out on the first corner and you get slammed into the side, and what can you do about it?
Yeah. He does seem like you can almost see that little bit of a mental toll with him.
Yeah.
I mean, it's impossible for that not to affect you to whatever degree, but you can kind of see it with Hartley. I don't know. But anyway, I thought it's a fascinating insight that you have on that. But I want to ask you something else. We're talking to James Rimmer because in not long at all, next month, on July 14th, there's a one-day event at COTA, the America's Rallycross, the Dirtfish America's Rallycross event. And James is going to be racing in that. And, of course, that's a little preview to what's going to happen in September, the American Rallycross coming. Mm-hmm. But I want to talk to you about the regimen. About your personal regimen. We got a driver in the studio. I want to pick his brain because we've done this before, like we talked about with Alexander Rossi. But I just wonder how much at every level and every different series, what kind of training do you do?
Yeah, so you have a baseline of physical training that you just need to be in shape up to a certain extent to be able to be in the car for long extended periods of time. And that's a baseline. And that used to be sort of the top end of it, is being decent physical shape. Now you get to the point where you really need to be putting in the work on the mental side of it. I spend a lot of time working with a mental coach, life coach, whatever you want to call him. But you know, they help a lot. They tell they're really looking at the overall picture. I have my spotter I've had for years, and he's in my ear, and we have a routine. From 5 minutes before the flag drops, we do something specific. 3 minutes in, minute, 30 seconds, same thing every single time. And I used to be so nervous going up to the line. I kid you not, I would almost get out of the car. I was like, I can't do this. And by the end of last season, I would nap on pre-grid. I would close my eyes, and that was part of our routine. And he would say, close your eyes for 2 minutes, and I'd fall asleep. That was how relaxed I ended up being. And that helps my driving immensely.
That is fascinating. I love to hear that because the mental side, you think about motorsports, it's got to be because I mean, I know there's the physical part of it too, especially in certain types of racing like you're in.
Totally.
But it's not like, you know, like a super physical sport like football or whatever, where you can, you know, you're going to get, in football, they talk about that first hit, they're relaxed because they're out there and just physically. But with you guys, it's so mental.
Yeah.
You know, getting the mental part of it, kind of like golf, I guess.
Yeah.
The worst game, the most awful game on the planet. but the mental side, that's fascinating. Can you talk a little bit more? We don't have a lot of time, but I want to hear about that. The mental, the coaching stuff.
Yeah. So the coaching stuff I really only picked up recently. It was from one of my mentors, Patrick Sandell, who's a Swedish rally driver who I've gotten to know really well. And he was in WRC and did a lot of things like that. And he hooked me up with his mental coach. And it's just a lot. It's a lot of talking through your, it sounds very corny and everything, but it's a lot of talking through your feelings before the race, understanding where those feelings are coming from, where the nervousness is coming from, where the agitation is coming from, what your worries are. Like if you're on the grid next to someone you know who's hit you the last two heats, how do you deal with that? And how do you sit there and say, how do I not shy away from contact in that first corner? How do I not give up an inch to this guy? And like I said, doing that routine every time before the race and having that person in your ear that really you trust is a really, really huge part of that.
You know, maybe you should introduce Daniel Ricciardo.
Maybe someone should introduce me to Daniel Ricciardo. He's one of my heroes.
Daniel Ricciardo does not eat anybody to keep him relaxed.
No.
He looks like the most relaxed race car driver on the planet.
Yeah. Yeah. He looks like he's driving his sim in his living room.
Yeah. Exactly. He does not need, I think he'd probably give the classes.
Easily.
Well, we're almost out of time. So I want to run down the event. Obviously, the Dirtfish America's Rallycross out here at Circuit of the Americas on July 14th. You can purchase your tickets, of course, at circuitoftheamericas.com. And if you purchase tickets to the World Rallycross that's coming in September, you get to go to this one for free. And it's going to be an amazing event because, like we were saying earlier, you can get down, get close to the drivers, the cars, all the action, get down in the garages. Some people they've only been to COTA events, but they never got to see the garages, just the facility. Yeah. That's another reason to go to one of these kind of events.
What a beautiful facility.
Yeah. We're blown
so
away
lucky
that this happened.
You guys
are
so lucky to have this here. I mean, I'm so jealous.
Well, James Rimmer,
what did you think about today? Cars and coffee?
Cars and coffee was fantastic.
Oh, that's
right. I had a great time. 900 cars in one place. I've never seen a car show like that.
Wow. That's right. Cars and coffee every time now here at COTA. So, all right, James Rimmer with the Dirtfish Rally Car Team. We appreciate you coming in studio. A fascinating insight. You have an open invitation anytime on Speed
Thank
City.
You.
That was really grand, fantastic.
Thanks for having me, guys.
Check us out on our website, speedcitybroadcast.com. Check out our SoundCloud, all kinds of content every week. Check us out, Facebook, Twitter, etc. We will talk to you next week.
Ciao, y'all.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's a new year, and it's time to get your picks in 26 with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop Bob's for hot new styles featuring the latest technology, like stylish sleeper sectionals with immersive Bluetooth audio, relaxing reclining sofas with LED lighting, and fabulous fireplaces with mood lighting and speakers, all at Bob's everyday low prices, of course. So if you want to refresh your room for less, save big by stopping in or shopping online at Bob's Discount Furniture.
Oh, could this vintage store be any cuter?
Right? And the best part? They accept Discover.
Accept Discover? In a little place like this? I don't think so, Jennifer.
Oh, yeah, huh? Discover's accepted where I like to shop. Come on, baby, get with the times.
Right, so we shouldn't get the parachute pants?
These are making a comeback. I think.
Discover is accepted at 99% of places that take credit cards nationwide. Based on the February 2025 Nielsen report.
The holidays are behind us and school routines are back. Now is the time to help your kids start the new semester strong. IXL helps students refresh what they learned in the fall so they head into the new year feeling confident and prepared. With new units and new goals, IXL is the simplest way to build better habits and stay on top of lessons without the stress. As teachers dive into new material, kids can practice those exact same skills at home to make sure the lessons really stick. IXL is an award-winning platform covering math, language arts, science, and social studies for pre-K through 12th grade. It's personalized, interactive, and actually fun. Keep your kids motivated for the second half of the year at IXL.com. Don't miss out. 1 in 4 students in the U.S. are learning with IXL. IXL is used in 96 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now. And listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXLLearning.com/audio. Visit IXLLearning.com/audio to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.
RingCentral's AI receptionist uses voice AI to answer on the first ring, so you'll never miss a call again. In just a few minutes, you can personalize your own AI receptionist to answer questions, route calls, schedule appointments, and even send texts in multiple languages. Plus, it's easy to scale. Create unlimited AI receptionists across any phone system. It's all powered by one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.